Revelations Radio Network. This show is called The Full Armor of God, and it's available at thefullarmorofgod.podomatic.com. That song at the beginning was from Ryan Delmore, and the song was called Jesus' Name. I love Ryan Delmore. This album just came out, and I had found him and his music when he was when I was doing the Praise Cast podcast, and I really think the reason that I did that podcast was so that I could find him and the Barry and Terry Colicott, both of which it really helps me like bring praise to a new level. I mean, you can decide you're going to kneel down and praise God or however you would praise God, but it's like music just brings it to a totally new level. Like, it opens up this part of your body that, you know, in the area of worship and praise, that I don't think is accessible really through hardly any other means. I'm sure that there are other means, but I would venture to say that that's the reason that we have music, or at least part of the reason that we have music. But anyway, this guy is like the Christian Ryan Adams for you music lovers out there. I really, really, really like this. I didn't find anything in Christian music that I was like, this is all pretty much the same thing, but this is something really special. I really, really dig it. And this album, I found out, had Mark Ford playing guitar on almost every track. And Mark Ford is probably one of my favorite guitar players. He was formerly of the band The Black Crowes. And he apparently, I guess, I don't know if he is a Christian now or how this ended up work. I heard he was like playing guitar at Vineyard Church or something like that in California. I don't know. But anyway, this album is so good. It's something I highly recommend. And if you go to, I think he has a MySpace page, but you can go to Vineyard Music and you can download The Spirit, the Water, and the Blood is the name of the album. His name is, again, Ryan Delmore. I have a cold, so it might not come out right. But yeah, $10 for a downloaded album. You can buy the actual album for like $14.99, but it is really, really worth it, especially if you are a big music fan type situation. Very diverse. Okay, so I didn't mean to go off on that too much, but I still highly recommend it. I just started a new podcast. It's called the Scripture Memory Podcast, King James Version. You can go to the website, which is scripturememory.podomatic.com. And I'll play you the introduction here real quick. It explains why I did what I did, and here is that introduction. Hi everyone, welcome to Scripture Memory Podcast, King James Version. Available at scripturememory.podomatic.com and on iTunes and other places. This is going to be a brief introduction on how I think this podcast can best be utilized. First, let me mention why I think it's good to do scripture memory work with the King James Version. And that is because while other versions seem to come and go, the King James Version has been around for a while and has been tried and tested, and we know it will be around for a long time in the future. I'm going to quickly read from an article I just found about why we should memorize scripture. Dallas Willard, professor of philosophy at the University of Southern California, wrote, "Bible memorization is absolutely fundamental to spiritual formation. If I had to choose between all the disciplines of the spiritual life, I would choose Bible memorization, because it is a fundamental way of filling our minds with what it needs. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. That's where you need it. How does it get in your mouth? Memorization." Chuck Swindoll wrote, "I know of no other single practice in the Christian life more rewarding, practically speaking, than memorizing Scripture. No other single exercise pays greater spiritual dividends. Your prayer life will be strengthened, your witnessing will be sharper, and much more effective. Your attitudes and outlook will begin to change, your mind will become alert and observant, your confidence and assurance will be enhanced, your faith will be solidified." I personally think that while doing evangelism and counseling and discipling, it's really helpful to have God's Word do all the work, because a lot of times our intellectual arguing does no good. But God's Word pierces people's armor. And it's like he said in Isaiah 55, verse 11, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." I didn't actually memorize that one yet, but I'm working on it. So how does this podcast work? Well, I think every week I'm going to offer a new podcast, very short podcast, only containing the verse or verses that we'll be trying to memorize for that week. And it'll be short enough so that you can either put it on repeat or pause it or play it back and forth as you learn how to memorize it in your own way. So I think that just by its very nature of being a very short podcast, only containing the actual verse, that'll give you a chance to memorize it in the way that you think is best, whether that's by just repetition and repetition, or whether it's by pausing and try it yourself or whatever. So I hope that you stay with me, and I'll basically try really hard to find relevant verses that I think can really help us in the various things that we will encounter in our life. And if you have any suggestions, I'd be glad to hear them. You can email me at scripturememory@podomatic.com. That's scripturememory@podomatic.com. Thank you. Bye. So yeah, there it is. And I'm by no means any kind of expert at memorizing scripture, that's for sure. But this is just a way for me to also learn how to memorize scripture, because this will help me. It's an exercise that I will benefit from. So if anybody else benefits from it, you know, all the better, I guess. And that'll kind of lead me into the second point that I want to make in this regard, and that is Bible reading in general is obviously something that we all agree is really good. I personally have always had a really terrible system with reading the Bible. I have just jumped around, never really finished a book kind of thing, and it really, well, I think I got a lot out of it. I think I could have gotten a lot more out of it if I would have been diligent about it. And some people probably have the opposite kind of thing, where they are the kind of person that they want to finish what they start, and you know, everything has to be just so and orderly and things like that. And so this might not be for you, but this was something that I thought that would be a good way for me to get more out of the Bible. And that was, again, utilizing something that we all apparently do, which is listen to MP3s and understand the benefit that that can help, or maybe you just do it for entertainment, but if you haven't recognized its ability as a teaching tool, you should really get into that, because there's a lot to do, and we'll talk about that here in a second. But in regards to the Bible, what helped me is starting to realize that, you know, I think I'm just going to start taking it one book at a time, because one book at a time is a very logical way to do things. But also, each book kind, if you can understand thoroughly a book before moving on, you know, understand what the book's about, what, just really understand it, maybe read it once or twice or three times. So that's the kind of philosophy that I was going with when I just decided, well, why don't I just download a particular book at a time? Usually I'll download, like, you know, the New Testament, or, you know, mixing up, put this here and this file there. But it's never really focused on a particular book. And so I tried that with the book of James. I downloaded from a wonderful website that you can find really easily. You just Google Bible and MP3. And it's like right at the top of the list. And you can download in any version that you want or whatever. Lots of different kinds of Bibles for free. And they're all separated in different things. Obviously, they're separated by book as well. And I recommend just choosing one, whether it's one of the short letters of Paul or Peter or whomever, or maybe one of the Gospels, or maybe the, you know, whatever in the Old Testament or whatever it may be. But just choose a book and then listen to it. Not once or twice, but until you get it, until you understand what it's about, what this book is, and let the Holy Spirit guide you, of course, what you should know or whatever. I think that it also helps in being able to quote the situations later, because I've already found myself understanding the book of James on a much deeper level, where I can, especially, it's different hearing it, too. I mean, you could follow along while you're reading or whatever you want to do. But if you're committed to, like, well, I'm just going to be you know, I'm going to restart this again. And it doesn't take that long. I mean, the book of James doesn't take but, you know, a few minutes to listen to, really. And then you're done. You're like, oh, that was the book of James. But somehow all that stuff is so daunting to me. Like, you can read the entire book in one sitting. Now, of course, you're probably laughing at me because you're like, the book of James is five chapters, Chris. But, it, you know, there are – obviously this will work with longer books too, because when you're listening to them, they just do fly by. But – and you might want to – help this out a little bit, but maybe reading a little bit about the book of James first, or whatever book, obviously, you're wanting to do this. I did this not with the audio, but just the other day reading the book of Galatians, and was struck about how singular and how the focus was. A lot of stuff got said, but it was pretty much focusing on one particular area, and it's interesting to know in context, trying to quote that to somebody in their particular situation or in your particular situation, you find yourself saying things like, well, you know, in the book of Galatians, it talks about blah, 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 or whatever like that. And maybe right at that point, you don't know which verse to quote or whatever, but it's a start, you know. If somebody's asking you, you know, you can say, well, it's in the book of James. You know, it's, you know, well, they talk in the book of James, it talks about this, you know, when you're trying to explain something to somebody, or it becomes necessary, because it always will become necessary to use the Word of God, because it is our sword, and it is a great tool that's useful for many things. So, that's something I wanted to mention, and also, this is something kind of related to that. That is the idea of continual growing and learning, and the desire to learn more and grow, and maybe if that's taking courses or finding, you know, in-depth studies that you can find, whether you have to pay for the courses or whatever it may be, there's a good deal of information that you should be out there seeking. And it grows your spiritual life so much. I found, you know, everybody's, especially if you're in the ministry or you are somebody who feels like they want to evangelize more or whatever, growing in those kinds of areas is just, it's priceless. I mean, it really is priceless, your knowledge and of understanding and things like that. You know, most of the time people look at somebody and say, wow, that person is so, you know, great and spiritual or whatever. They are somebody that I want to be like. Usually the thing that separates you from them is that they at some point in their life had read 1,000 books, you know, or listened to so many courses or went to so many seminars or whatever. They were thirsty for information, and that's the difference. That is the difference between who you are and who you want to be in regards to being more spiritual. I don't know if spiritual is the right word, but you know what I'm saying. So I would recommend going and finding courses, going and finding things like that, and that includes obviously scripture memory and reading the Bible, but also Bible study and commentary and just reading books about things, getting books on tape. There's a really good thing that you can do, and I highly, highely recommend this to somebody if you want to learn a lot, is firefighters.org. There's lots of different ways to navigate through firefighters.org. You might want to start just a Google search of firefighters and MP3, because you'll get to different sites they have where different ways to download things, but that aren't necessarily available if you just went to their regular site. I know that sounds confusing, but there is a ton of sermons on, and you know, sermon audio and things like that. Think about that. You can go to, you know, 1,000 sermons and never get the quality of sermons that we have at our fingertips now. You could have your iPod or MP3 player loaded with some of the best teaching material from the best, you know, men of God for the last 100 years. There is enough material, and, you know, as far back as you want to, because there's probably people that are reading the writings of even earlier people that are available in audio and things like that. And because it's so simple now that we have it at our fingertips, and we can put 30 gigabytes of material on our little flat little thing that runs on batteries, and while we jog, or while we do this, or while we do that, then we have no excuse for growing and learning. And it's something that it's all of us, I like it when Chuck Missler says, who here is in the full, because he says this when they're talking about, or whenever he does a study on the pastoral epistles, you know, 2 Timothy and Titus and so on, and, you know, maybe a few people raise their hand, and he says, okay, let me ask it again. How many people here are in the full-time ministry? And then everybody's like, oh, okay, I get it. They raise their hand. And that's true. That's true. And it's glorious and wonderful to be in the full-time ministry, and maybe it's you know, obviously you might work a job or whatever, but if you just continue to pray that God will lead people to you that you can help, or lead you to those people that you can help, and you can be sure that He's going to do that. He's going to put you in situations where your knowledge and understanding can be used to help, edify, or disciple, or counsel somebody that needs it. He's got a lot of people that He could be like, well, I can match you up with you, and you can probably help you, and you can probably help you. He's really good at making those matches, but it is good for you to pray for that to be done. I think that's an important part of it. And if you don't have time to learn those kinds of things, you need to make time. And a good way to make time is kind of incorporated in it into other things that would also help and benefit you. For instance, if you put these kinds of things on your iPod, you can make time by going for walks. Something that I've been doing is burning DVDs of the video gospel track that I make. If you need any help making that, I would gladly help you to do that. I put a YouTube video up on how to burn movies from YouTube videos and then to make DVDs out of them. It's a pretty complicated process, but I made a tutorial on YouTube on my website, youtube.com/nowheretorun1984. But what I'm saying is that if you had a reason to, it's all the better. I get bundled up in, you know, warm clothes and just go walking all around somewhere new all the time, and I'm listening to courses or sermons or whatever it may be that I'm learning, the Bible, praise music. Sometimes it's just praising. Lately, it's just been such a wonderful thing to praise God, and, you know, and so I'll that's what I did last time. Just the whole time, it was just so wonderful. And that actually is a good segue into the last and final point here before the audio clip. And that is, I just finished a course in walking around handing out DVDs from Russ Dizdar called Theocentric Counseling, which I highly recommend. And all of his courses are available at shatterthedarkness.net. They are really, really well done, and they actually teach you quite a lot. I feel like I've learned so much from his courses. And in fact, this whole idea of, you know, keeping more involved in learning is actually coming directly from taking that course, because he's talked a lot about it. But that particular one, Theocentric Counseling, is good for if you are in any way, shape, or form a counselor of people. And it's also great because you don't really have to be to get a lot out of the course. It's kind of counseling the counselor in a lot of ways, making sure you are in the right kind of mode in order to do counseling, which ultimately we are all counselors in one way or another, whether we're hairdressers or just friends. We are all in the business of giving advice or those kinds of things. So I highly recommend that. That's available at shatterthedarkness.net. And the final point is on prayer mapping. I hope I'm going to be able to find the audio clip that I'm looking for with Russ Dizdar talking about prayer mapping. This is something he's actually done conferences and things on before. And it's a real simple concept. It's just essentially writing things down and focusing your prayers, having them written down, and all based on the Lord's Prayer as a guideline, as a framework for prayer. And I've talked about it here before, but just the first part, you know, hallowed be your name. That's just all praise, you know, and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lots of things to do there. And he goes through it point by point. You know, your daily bread obviously is praying for your particular needs and for people and things like that. And to have entire sections devoted for the people that you need to pray for. And just, it's a really good guideline. And it really just, for me, it was like prayer life just went through the roof when this happened. And all of a sudden, so many wonderful things started happening. And it was just because I was asking, it seemed like. But it was also because there's something that focuses more in the prayer mapping, and I really highly recommend it. So I'll play an audio clip about that. But I did want to tell a quick story that I don't know how much detail I'll say. Maybe I'll say later. But it was a really great thing that happened. I was looking for something to happen. And it had to be a miracle. And I was, basically, there was no way that I could think of that it happened, but I knew that God could think of a way to make it happen where it could work. But I admitted to him, and I over and over again, that I don't know how. I do know that you know how, but I need a miracle. And I wasn't sure if this was in God's will or not. I had a pretty good idea that it was, so, but it didn't really matter. I was just praying for it. I really have been getting into pretty fervent prayer lately, and you know, really devoting time to it at night, and really, and in the morning, just it's become something that I've really see the importance in, and really want to devote time for it. And because I'm starting to see things happen, and I'm starting to see the effect that we can have just by the dedication to prayer. And the other night I was sitting down, and I was kind of like blah, you know, and I didn't, that day I kind of felt like I hadn't really done a lot, and you know, you kind of get this idea of like, oh, I don't want to pray, I wouldn't even really, you know, feel it or anything right now anyway. And then it hit me, it's like, well, that's why I have to pray. I can pray this off. I can pray this blah feeling off if I just get down there and start praying and pray about the things I need and really think about it. And so what I've really been doing is, you know, while praying, I really consider myself approaching the throne of God. I mean, not necessarily approaching, but I really consider myself like God sitting there facing me, listening to me, like made time for me to present my requests. And that kind of in itself is humbling, and there's kind of a wonderful thing that happens. This you know, presence is there. And I know you know, that we have an audience to the Father now because of Jesus Christ and who Jesus Christ is. And it's just a wonderful, glorious thing to be able to approach the throne room of the universe and to give him your supplications and lay before him all the cares of the day, which we have a lot of. We have so many cares. So it's a wonderful thing to do. And that night was a night that I was really, really praying for this miracle. And sure enough, it happened in a way that is perfect, that I didn't think of or conceive of. It's just, I couldn't believe it. It was like he was listening to those last week of just absolute crying out to him. I mean, I don't want to make it sound like I was like just, oh, in agony over it, but I was. I mean, it was something that I made time for every day. For that week, at night and in the morning, that I was on my knees and I was asking for a solution to this problem, and he heard me. He heard it. And it's not that he hasn't done things like that every day, really, but it was this one that was more special, I think, because it was something that I just knew couldn't happen any other way. So, just want to help, you know, build up your faith there, and just again reiterate the importance of prayer, praying for the people and in your life and the things that you need, because that's what he wants from us, so he can show us how much he loves us and so that we might love him. And that's the beautiful answer to how do we love God. And it happens naturally by praying to him, having him answer your prayers, then you recognizing that the God of all creation is listening to you and loves you and cares about you. And then all of a sudden you're just like, you know what? That's really cool. I love you too. Okay, so I'll play this clip. It's about an hour long. It's from Russ Dizdar about prayer mapping. It's actually only part one of a two-part series. If you want the other part, you can go to the show notes and I'll link the part two there. I'll also link the Scripture Memory podcast, scripturememory.podomatic.com. So there it is, and you can go to the website, which is thefullarmorofgod.podomatic.com, to find the show notes.
In the Old Testament, we have Moses interceding before the living God on behalf of Israel. His arms were raised up high. He was praying before the God of heaven, just as the pagan nation may have done rituals and may have sought the demon deities that they worshipped and that they were attached to for their victory. They would seek, as some pagan tribes have, the war gods. And in that Old Testament context of battle demonstrating itself in the physical plane, but being decided on a spiritual plane. Moses was praying and interceding, and as he was doing that, the hand of God was coming through. There was an advancement of the kingdom in the Old Testament sense, and the victory was being given to Israel in that battle. When the prayers began to cease as Moses grew tired and as the arms began to go down, obviously the powers of darkness began to push forward the pagan nations. And it's very clear in biblical revelation that even the physical factors around us have a spiritual cause to the effects that we see around us. Even the New Testament, God reveals it again in Ephesians chapter 6, that we are not wrestling or warring against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Our battle's not against the flesh and blood per se, but it is against what's happening behind the scenes. Dear friend, if you are a great prayer warrior, if you're somebody who wants to give yourself to prayer, then God will be able to use your life, as we read in James chapter 5, where the Spirit of God uses Elijah as a great example of the kind of prayer people that we can become. He's considered someone who prayed and stopped the rain for 3 years and prayed again, and the rain occurred. A tremendous, visible, demonstrative answer, powerful, supernatural answer, and powerful in prayer. And the Word of God gives us Elijah and tells us, Kathos, that he is a man just like us, exactly like us. And that's why God has given us so many demonstrations where victory is applied to Old Testament Israel, or in the New Testament. Deciding factors, for example, in the case of Peter, in jail. Wrongly jailed, yes. But as he's sleeping and his arms are cuffed and there's soldiers guarding him and the gates, iron gates, are shut and locked, there was a little group of believers that were praying all night long. And as the intercession went before God, they didn't even know it. An angel was dispatched. The hand of God began to move. And Peter, of course, was awakened, and the angel spoke to him. The chains on his arm supernaturally fell off. The guards were completely blinded in every way concerning Peter getting up. And as they began to move out, you can read about it in the book of Acts. As they began to move out, the Bible just simply says those iron bars opened all by themselves. Well, to the human eye, all by themselves. But it was the hand of God. It was angelic help that God had sent on the basis of intercession. These are the laws of engagement. When the dark side would conjure dark powers to bless them and guide them and direct them, when they would seek through sacrifice and blood sacrifice the favor of demon deities, they do have power, and they manifest power. And they do it to gain favor and to gain advancement and protection and so many other things. In the world that we live in, it's fallen. Though Jesus Christ has come to the cross, and by that cross, we read in 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, that the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's works. All around us, the world has been grid-mapped. There is a spiritual force, a dark spiritual force, according to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 on down, that brings great suppression and battle. And five times the word against is used, and it refers to the dark side being against the body of Christ. That's why Jesus said, I will build a church. And that church, as it's being built, the gates of Hades, the gates of hell, shall not prevail or withstand the advance and the onslaught of the body of Christ. My friends, the body of Christ is not only here to be a vessel of grace to the world, but it is also a weapon of spiritual warfare. The only body that has been given not only the blood of Christ, the grace of Christ, the righteousness of Christ, but also the authority of Jesus to trample. Authority has been given for a purpose. It is not a badge. It is not a picture. It is not a halo around our heads. It is authority that we are to exercise and use against the manifested presence of evil around us. We are to have a decisive victory. Nike is the Greek word. We're to have victory to overcome all the power of the enemy. And if you have not yet heard through so many of our own broadcasts and interviews that biblical prophecy tells us that the satanic rage and the manifestation of demonic presence is now unparalleled in human history. And it will not subside. It will continue wave after wave after wave, with each wave being higher and stronger and crashing in a more rapid pace. Biblical prophecy tells us that we're headed for days of unparalleled and unequaled demonic presence and satanic agenda in all the history of the human race, all the history of the Old Testament and the New Testament as we look at the past. You and I are in a day in which the incomparably great power of God is upon our lives. Ephesians, we can read it in chapter 1 and chapter 2 and all the way through. There is to be a manifestation of the kingdom of God, the basileia, the rule of God. Well, hey, I'm getting ahead of myself here. This is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net on the web, and I'm just going to simply be going over what we call the strategic targeted intercession and spiritual warfare. It's a mapping, a little manual. Sometimes I've called it a glorified request list. But we've tried to be more precise with it. And there's two foundations. So if you've come to this webpage, or if you've clicked on to this particular training podcast, then there's also a link that will give you the two pages of notes to the training that we have, and also to the prayer map, the actual prayer map, which is probably about 11 or 12 pages long. Now, if you have that, it's going to be really great because, and again, nobody has to use pages of paper. And so many times I just do this without it because I've done it so long now. But the pages will help you become disciplined and devoted, and will help you to write down the things that God is showing you and lay down the things that God has burned your heart with, and to know biblically oriented and in the will of God praying. And you'll be able to use the prayer map kind of as an interaction in your prayer time. And obviously, it's going to take some time. Let me just say a few things before we go to the pages, because each page deals with a focused area, and it's going to try to get you and I to focus on and spend time in the presence of God on a particular area. And there's a reason for that. Many years ago, when we were dealing with a lot of underground satanic activity and really studying and taking a look at the agenda that we were seeing developing out of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, we read very clearly there concerning the rise of the Antichrist. It'll come with the work of Satan. Now, the Greek word work means a supernatural operative power and activity in the Scripture. It's used of God's work in us in the book of Philippians. It is God who is at work in you. And that's a supernatural operative power in your life. But it's also used concerning Satan. He's really got power. He's really got strategy. He's really out there. And there are probably trillions of demons. And there's a great satanic agenda over the politics of the world, for governing, over the military, over science, over nations, as we've read in the Old Testament about the Prince of Persia, and there's also the demonic Prince of Greece and so forth, and Michael is the Prince of Israel protecting the nation. So please understand, as we move into this, prayer has always been about bringing down in a fallen world the breaking in of the kingdom of God. Because as humans, we've given it over. We've sinned tragically. We've listened to the liar, and we have fallen from the glory of God, and we have sinned. We've done what Satan himself did. And the Bible teaches this very clearly. In 2 Corinthians 4:4, it calls Satan the god of this age. The god of this age. Or if you go to 1 John chapter 5, when it talks about the evil one who's in control of the whole world. He's in control of the world. So you read that, and it's almost unbelievable when you begin to take a look at Scripture and look at the biblical revelation. Let's look what the Spirit of God has painted, the communication, the intelligence report of the Spirit of God in the Word of God, as we have clear, razor-sharp revelation on who Satan is, what his agenda is, what his methods are, and literally what he's going to be doing in the future, so that we can know that when prophecy is being fulfilled, just like Peter on the day of Pentecost, when the prophecy of Joel was being fulfilled, he was able to say to the crowd, "This is that which the prophet Joel talked about." He was standing in the direct fulfillment. It was a fulfillment of prophecy given hundreds of years prior. And now he stood there to see the precision, the accuracy of God once again fulfilling what he spoke. And no one can do it like God. 300 prophecies in the Old Testament referring to the first coming of Jesus. The one-third of the entire New Testament is biblical prophecy, and it refers to the coming of Christ and all the events. But in that one-third of all the prophecy, as much as one-half of it or more deals with the satanic side, deception, seduction, counterfeit prophets, false signs, wonders, miracles, every sort of evil, the ramping up, the false prophet, the Antichrist, Babylon rising worldwide, and the biblical picture of an unparalleled time in human history of demonic presence, satanic presence, in politics, in the military, in science, in pseudo-religion, to gain control for the end goal of Revelation 19:19. Now I'll let you study Revelation 19:19, because there you're going to find the revelation of the ultimate end goal of the satanic agenda. What we're talking about right now is learning a little bit more about prayer. Now listen, when I got saved, you know, 32 years ago, I remember hearing the preacher say that there's a scripture, he said, "Ask, you shall receive, seek, you shall find, and knock, and the door will be opened." And man, I believed that. I believed that, and I remember going out that time and that week from church, because listen, I was a pagan kid running around into Buddhism, Taoism, and all kinds of other spiritual things. None of it led me to God, and then encountered, you know, I've shared my testimony before, getting saved, being filled with the Spirit of God. Now, you know, I loved going to the church. I was drawn to going to local churches, and I didn't know anything yet, but I heard a sermon, and this preacher quoted Jesus. When Jesus said, "Ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and the door will be open." So I began to pray. And I hadn't done this in any sense of my life. I really haven't. I began to pray and believe God, and I put out three prayers particularly that week. And I realized coming back next Sunday, as the preacher was talking on another topic of prayer, that God had answered all three. I sat there astounded. It wasn't just one of the three prayers. It was all three of them. And I was astounded. I was totally astounded. I hope that God would give us all the grace to be astounded even today when a prayer is answered. You see, God created prayer not as an exercise in verbiage and words. God created prayer as an avenue to get answers. It's all about getting the answers. Romans, or John chapter 15 rather, would tell us that a sign of being obedient to Jesus and a disciple, a bona fide disciple of Jesus Christ, and a way of glorifying God is bearing fruit. John chapter 15 verse 7, simply Jesus said, "Listen, if you abide in me and my word abides or remains, dwells in you through belief and obedience, then ask whatever you will. Ask whatever you wish," the Greek word thelema, "and it'll be given to you." Then he says in verse 8, "This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit." Fruit bearing and answers to prayer is in exact context in those two verses. Part of the reason we've been chosen in Christ was a selection of being fruit bearers, those who would bring about the works of God into the affairs of man, which includes all that Jesus did, all that we see in the book of Acts. So the incredible answers, the incredible possibilities are still before us. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 14 down, Paul the Apostle says, I kneel before the Father, from whom the whole family in heaven and on earth derive its name. And then he's going to ask God out of his glorious riches to strengthen those believers by the power of the Holy Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ would live there by a conscious, experiential indwelling, that they might be able to perceive the love of God. The goal of that prayer was that they might be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. Now, you continue to read there a little bit, and you're going to read an incredible thing where it says this, the Spirit of God, through Paul, emotionally explodes these words. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be the glory. Now listen, to him be the glory in the church and for all the ages, forever and ever. Read that simple little verse in Ephesians 3, and there's a Greek word, huperekperiesu. And it simply means just what it says there. As I read in this translation, it says that he's able to do immeasurably more. Now listen, that means you cannot measure. You cannot measure what God can do. Your mind, your imagination cannot think as broad, wide, cannot go beyond what God is able to do. Your mind doesn't have the capacity. You do not have the imagination, the miracles of God, the power of God, the grace of God, the things that God can do. So I want to encourage you that, number one, prayer has been given to us as a gift from God for the purpose of getting answers. And this is a tremendous difficulty I see with a lot of prayer movements and so forth, of just seeking God and getting the Spirit's leading and guidance and so forth, where the emphasis really is on the issue of getting answers. Ask and you shall receive. Now, in one of the other Gospels, Jesus expanded on that. He said, everyone that asks will receive, everyone that seeks will find, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. And then he goes on to tell the story about if you fathers, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your kids. If your kids ask for a bread, are you going to give them a scorpion? Well, no, the answer is, you're going to give them bread. Any time in my life my daughter's asked for food or something or whatever, I've not gone out and gave her, I've never given her glass or razor blades. That's crazy. And Jesus uses that in the context of saying the very next thing. When he says, you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more your heavenly Father give good gifts to them that ask. Listen, there's a lot of people not asking. The condition of this is the issue of asking. That includes salvation. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And prayer is all about the asking. James 4 tells us, you have not because you ask not. Now, it can be the issue of wrong motives too, but they had a whole condition, a fleshly condition, of not even asking. And we need to come back to the lordship of Christ, to the powers of God, seeking that God, like Psalm 68, that God would summon the powers, his powers, that he would show us and demonstrate that power as he has done before. The chariots of God are tens of thousands and thousands upon thousands. There are new revivals to occur. There's presence and power dedicated to witnessing believers, to those committed to the Great Commission. The power of God is committed. To those committed to the Great Commission, the mission of God. All of heaven backs the mission of God. And God does search for prayer warriors. God does search. And he's given us so much instruction. And I'm going to be able to give a little bit of that here in this strategic targeted intercession and this spiritual warfare prayer map that we do. And by no means does it limit anything. He's able to do immeasurably more than all of us can ask or even imagine. And God is amazing. God is amazing in what he's able to do. When Joshua stood there before that one day and commanded for the sun to stop and stand still, could he imagine that that would ever occur? Or Moses with a staff before the sea and holding it out and seeing the waters divide and 1,800,000 people travel through. On the day of Pentecost, the power of God that came. On the day the church was again threatened and told to shut up and quit witnessing. Acts chapter 4, the believers gathered together and they prayed and they quoted the word of God and they asked God again for power on the boldness for the sake of the mission and completing it and reaching every soul for Christ, which includes healing and deliverance and signs and wonders and the works of God. And all of it's included as it backs, as Jesus said he himself would be with us to the end of the age, as long as we're going to do the mission. You know, we don't decide a mission and go off and say, Jesus, hang with us, follow us out here in the, to the left or the right. No, Jesus gave us a mission. We're to run with perseverance the race marked out for us, Hebrews 12. And so the race marked out is laid out. It's not our mission, it's God's mission. And the mission is reach the world with the gospel. That's number one. That is the central mission, the priority, the high calling of heaven. The privilege is worship and embracing Jesus. The mission is reaching the world and then incorporating them, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then teaching them to also obey everything whatsoever Jesus taught those first disciples. And that's what happened. And we read in Mark 16:20 simply that the disciples went out everywhere. They were out evangelizing, is the Greek word. They were out evangelizing, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that followed. Now, this is why I'm going to say again that prayer is not some agonizing effort in the sense that God is so reluctant, so mean, so, you know, I mean, we know a word in this world that I don't even like to use, but it's the word tightwad. And we used to say it as kids. My dad played a game with us sometimes when he'd come home from work. And when he came home, he would have in his hand, he was, you know, we're 5 and 6 years old, and he's so big and strong, and he would have a few quarters in his hands, but he'd close his fist real tight, and we can barely see the coins, and we'd begin to pry one little finger open at a time, one finger, then the next finger. By the time we get to the third finger, and we're prying his fingers open, we're almost ready to grab the money inside his hand, and then he closes his hand again. And we would do that. We found out that it was a game that my dad would do. But it just, I mean, he had the power to withhold from us any time. And my dad would finally open. But we had to work and work and work and work and work and work. Well, listen, let me tell you something. Don't project that on God. God simply isn't playing a game when it comes to prayer. God has designed prayer to be the avenue, the vessel from the laws of engagement, as someone has said, through which his presence, power, grace, mercy, and works would come through. And you can see it as Jesus modeled it and did it. You can see it as he was training the early disciples in Luke chapter 10. You can see it in the 30 years of history in the book of Acts. And you can see the kind of prayers and intercession that went on. And let me tell you something. They prayed for things to get done. They prayed for the advancement of the gospel. And they prayed very clearly of targeted and strategic things. Let me mention very clearly why we call this strategic and targeted. Because we want to, and especially in the area of spiritual war too, we want to make sure that we know that we have, we know what we're asking for. Jesus one time asked a man that was sickly, what is it that you want? So the question I have for you right now, what is it that you want? As you get before God right now, what is it that you want? Many Christians only know a couple types of praying. Many Christians only know crisis praying. That is, they really only pray when trouble occurs, bad things occur. Oh God, help me. Oh God, get me out of this. Oh God. And that's the kind of praying they know. Crisis prayers. Now we all have crisis times we seek the Lord. Psalms is filled with teaching on seeking God as a believer in times of trouble. And definitely not being passive and laying back in some, you know, cubbyhole somewhere. But to seek God and find refuge and find that in every case that someone sought God for deliverance, in every case of the book of Psalms, God stepped in eventually. And God answered powerfully for those that sought him, for those that made him the refuge, for those who seen him as the rock and the fortress and the deliverer. Psalm 18 is a tremendous demonstration of that. But let me encourage you, in a day of unparalleled demonic manifestation, in a day of unparalleled satanic agenda being developed on the face of the earth. Whether or not Antichrist is here or not, I don't know that for sure. My speculation is he already exists on the face of the earth, that the troops are being built, that we're getting very, very close to the great revolt and then to the revealing of the Antichrist, and everything will change. We've been through the frog in a kettle approach where slowly, spiritually, since the 60s in the United States, and specifically in Europe, there's been this confusion spiritually and alternative spirituality and all the other junk that has brought confusions. Again, counterfeit signs, wonders, miracles, counterfeit spirituality and in every sort of evil that will deceive those who are perishing. So the secret power of lawlessness has already been at work, operating in the world. That's why we see not only cultures that are becoming in critical mass opposed to the gospel, to Christians, to Christianity. We also see the flourishing of thousands upon thousands of different cults, numerous groups like a sect, like the Jehovah's Witnesses, and on and on. And we see the rise of thousands upon thousands upon thousands of covens. We see satanic covens, Masonic temples, 50,000 in the United States. We see the largest cultic movement in the history of Christianity, the New Age movement, in Europe, in England, and here throughout the United States. We see that America is a spiritual land. But the overwhelming, more than half of America is connected to the seducing spirits that the Holy Spirit spoke about in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. The Spirit expressly or clearly has said and painted the picture and has given us an intelligence report that in those last days, the days we are living in, see, it was written 2,000 years ago. And just up before the time of the actual appearance of Antichrist in the very end of the end, there would be this incredible ramping up of satanic presence and powers being displayed because so many hearts would be open. As the enemy morally dirties everybody, then he also spiritually deceives and moves people to that Luciferian lie of a promise of spiritual evolution, ascendancy to godlike status. That's the New Age. That's the core of it. That's the core of Luciferianism. That's the core of many of those systems, to become more than man. And in Christ, we become redeemed man and eventually glorified mankind. And it outshines all the alternatives. Well, that's another discussion too. But it is a battle. It is a spiritual battle. And as we live our lives, please let me tell you that we need all the biblical revelation that we can put into practice so that we can become those vessels, redeemed vessels, through which the living God, the living Christ, will manifest mercy, grace, love, and power and authority in the world around us. And you, dear Christian, you've been called to take up the cross to follow Christ. Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high the royal banner. It must not suffer loss. And so I want to encourage you right now as you're listening, that God would grip your heart, that the spirit of prayer and supplication, He is the spirit of prayer and supplication, as He would grip your heart and move upon you and lead you, to become an incredible prayer warrior, to become someone who's going to be manifesting the presence, power, works, and grace and might of God in the world around us. As we see it in the book of Acts, and as we have it instructed throughout the Gospels and the rest of Scripture. My friend, like Colossians chapter 3, tells us, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And that's what we want even in the beginning of this prayer map. So let me just tell you again, one of the issues of the prayer mapping targeted strategic style that we're talking about is that it's a biblical revelation that we're following Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. When the Spirit of God says that first of all, and with urgency, look what God is saying. I urge that prayers, that requests that thanksgiving be made for everyone, and then he focuses on kings and those in authority. There's a reason for that. How much praying in your church do they do for those in authority? Government officials, kings and presidents and military people. Because that is the ultimate battleground for the control of the world. There's a reason. There's a strategic reason why the Spirit of God laid it out as the Holy Spirit calls the church to put prayer as the priority. Listen, you know what we make priority? We spend more time in some churches giving announcements, telling what's going on during the week, all the other things, which are fine. Announcements need to be told. Nothing wrong with that. But I want to tell you something. Test this in your local Sunday morning service. Watch how much time is given to corporate prayer where everybody's praying and interceding. Everybody, like in Acts chapter 4, is raising their voices together in prayer to God for the soul, salvation of souls, revival of the church, the advancement of the kingdom, the crushing of satanic works, the healing of lives, for those in authority to be influenced by God and be protected from the demonic agenda. Tell me, how many minutes on Sunday morning? Listen, I've been a pastor 30 years, so I'm sharing out of experience. In churches, how many minutes do we give God in when it comes to prayer? Where the greatest, listen, do you know something? Can I tell you something? I want to tell you something. No miracle in the Old Testament or the New ever came unless it came through a redeemed or someone who's in, a believer, someone who's in touch with God. You know, no raising of the dead, no power falling in Acts chapter 4, shaking a house, no jail cell where an earthquake occurs and busts open the doors where Paul and Silas and the jailer get saved, no power that falls and saves the whole household of Cornelius, no Eutychus being raised from the dead. You can go through the signs and wonders and miracles, deliverances, and everything else. None of it occurred without a redeemed individual praying and doing what God said. Doing what God said. That's why I'm going to tell you that Satan would truly be against your prayers, as he was against Daniel's prayer in the book of Daniel. I mean, Daniel, that's all he had left. Three times a day, man, living in Babylon, 56 demonized temples, sacrifice and magic and powers all around him, a demonized king worshiping a demon deity, and he lived in a land of the thick manifestation of great darkness. No wonder the politics became became demonized ideology and was enforced by sorcerers, appealing to the king to shut down the prayers of Daniel. Can I tell you something right now? The enemy would love to shut down your prayers and shut down the prayers of the church. Luciferian infiltrators, as I've shared on other training podcasts, that's part of the agenda. Shut down the prayers. When you're going after the enemy, and they see us as the enemy, by the way, you got to shut down the guns, shut down the tanks, shut down the arsenal. You know, if you can shut down and stop all the bullets and all the bombs and all the, you know, tanks and all the things being sent, then nothing's going to be hitting you. And that's what the enemy would love to do. He'd love to shut down your faith so that you won't be able to come. See, you can't go before the Lord without faith. Matter of fact, let me tell you a principle here. Okay, think about this principle. You'll never do any more than you believe. You'll never pray any more than you believe. And until we can get down and repent of our unbelief and everything else, we need to come before God and believe God for what He says. We need to launch off the Word of God. That's what we do. We, by faith, take the Word of God, it's the Word of faith anyway, and launch out that He's able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. That if we ask, we'll receive. Seek, find. Knock, doors open. Jesus told another parable about a man that was going to bed one night and got his kids all in, and his neighbor had a friend come of a faraway country. You know the story. And Jesus used the story to talk about the need for shameless persistence in prayer, and that answers, that we're to be praying and praying and praying and praying and praying and asking and seeking until the answer comes in hand. That's what the early church did. That's the instruction. That's the example. That's the model. And that's how it works right now, today, just the same way. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and for all the tomorrows, forever. Hallelujah. That He's the same. And that you've gotten a hold of this providentially, and that God is calling you and I to become great, 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 great prayer warriors and to avail ourselves before the King of Heaven and just offer yourself, God, here I am. I give you my life. I want to be a witness for Christ. I want to be, you know, someone that influences the world. I want to be like Philip in the book of Acts. I want to be, you know, like the prayer warriors that we see in the book of Acts. I want to hear, I give you my heart and life, Lord. Use my life in prayer, and God wants you to glorify him and demonstrate that you are a disciple of Jesus by bearing much fruit. And the only way, according to John 15, it's not the secret. I think a lot of us have forgotten about it. The simple answer to bearing a lot of fruit, obey the word of God. You cannot help growing. You cannot help getting close to the Lord. You cannot help experiencing more of him. You cannot help growing stronger and stronger and experiencing victory over the world, the flesh, and the enemy. You cannot help but to see miracles occur, souls won, the kingdom advanced, satanic powers destroyed on one key factor: obedience to the word of God. If the word of God is abiding you, remaining you, if you're obeying the word of God, you can read about it in John 15:10. The reason Jesus, you know, dwelt and lived in the love of the Father was he just simply obeyed the commands. Where to obey the commands of Jesus? Put the commands of Jesus into practice. You'll see how simple this is in the book of 1 John. The Holy Spirit tells us the same story across the board, that that the two things, the primary things, to believe on the name of the Lord Jesus and to love one another, and that will free up our whole prayer life. So much so that 1 John 3 tells us that we can ask for anything. We're going to get it. We're told in 1 John chapter 5 by the Holy Spirit himself, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Akouo, he hearkens to your prayers. He's paying attention to your prayers. He's coming. And if we know, hoida, the Greek word meaning factually know that he's hearing us, then we also know factually that we'll receive the answers. Did you know that what good would it be to pray if you didn't really want to get an answer? What good is it to do, you know, prayer isn't some psychological release, though there's great benefit in talking to God and sharing our problems. You can cry out to God and share your problems and everything else and worship and so forth. I'm not talking about just talking and releasing issues and saying, God, I'm really hurting. I'm talking about now praying and asking. I'm talking about praying and asking. I read, you know, in the Psalm, or in Isaiah rather, 62, and I read there about how God was going to collect, you know, those who would come to the wall of Jerusalem. And he was going to literally make prayer warriors. They were to give themselves no rest and to give God no rest until he establishes, until he brings about everything. Well, let me touch on this one thing. And if you've downloaded the pages, the prayer map, on that front page, it simply says strategic targeted intercession and spiritual warfare. You'll see towards the bottom where it talks about preemption, 1 Timothy 2, chapter 2, verses 1 through 6, where the Spirit of God says, first of all, and with urgency, passion, let us pour out the prayers and requests and thanksgivings and so forth before God for those, everybody, including, listen, focusing on kings and those in authority. Notice what it says in the context. This is good and pleases God, our Savior, who wills all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. Your prayers does have everything to do with people getting saved. Your prayers have everything to do with extending the grace and mercy of God and breaking satanic blinding and powers and so forth. And that's the call of God. And so assuming that you and I are going to say, man, you know what? I'm not just going to give myself to crisis praying or even just to 5 minutes of devotional praying. You know, in the morning, I'm going to read one verse of scripture and I'm going to pray 2 or 3 or 4 minutes on the day that I pray for work and I pray for this, pray for my family, then go off. Okay, well, that's good, but not good enough. What do I mean by that? Listen, what about giving God the first half hour of the day? What about somewhere in the day, instead of 4 or 5 hours of TV, there's 1 hour dedicated to God in prayer and intercession. And listen, in that, since God, the Holy Spirit, says it's a priority, first of all, first on the list. And I think it's really important that we do it in the morning. I'm committed to a morning and an evening watch. That's what I'm committed to. And anytime I've ever broken it or not had it, I can tell the difference. But I know if I meet God in the morning and I've gone through prayer and intercession, many other things that I need to go through, and prayed throughout the whole day. Listen, I've already prayed in getting God's wisdom and blessing and presence, and getting up off out of that prayer and worship time and stepping out into the day. And I've already prayed over things that are coming up for the day. And that's important. So if we take the scripture seriously where it says, first of all, well then, first of all. First of all. And then where the Holy Spirit says, I urge. There's an urgency. Let me say a few of the things. The prayer map that you have before you, the one that we use, or we're going to encourage you to use, or develop as God helps you to develop too, what you need for your area, is based on two simple things: the Word of God, biblical revelation, and the Spirit of God's application along the way. Now that includes, you know, God gives you the desires of your heart, desires that come to your heart. You know, people have called that divine desire. God puts, you know, something on your heart, or you come before the Lord. I have no problem coming before God with whatever it is. He's going to show me through scriptural screening, taking the Word of God, whether something's according to the will of God or not. The Spirit of God's here to help me. I mean, look at Romans chapter 8. The Spirit of God is to help us in our weakness. Sometimes we don't know how to pray. And so you've got the expert on prayer. You have Jesus' demonstration in words. By the way, he's the intercessor, always interceding for us anyway. And you have the Spirit of intercession in you and upon you. I mean, we've got help. We've got infinite help. And the sad thing is that the lack of belief what God has designed prayer for, and what can happen, and the incredible, amazing interaction of a prayer warrior, intercessor, that goes on between that intercessor and God, and what a relationship! When you're praying, you're being in His presence. The Spirit of God's there to help me. You know, I could have 10 prayer warriors around me, and I appreciate that. And I've many times knelt down, and all kinds of people have a hand on somebody's shoulder, and we're all praying, you know, or somebody's gathering around somebody. And one of the things we do, we have somebody sit in a chair, and we get all around to pray for them. And everybody's praying and praying, you know. You know what? We're really being blessed by that help. But did you know you have the Helper, God the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Counselor, the Teacher, who'll be with you forever? And He's helping you. So just, you know, that's why I want to encourage you. On the foundation of the Word of God, both its instruction and the examples and the models that we see in the book of Acts, that's what we leap off of. And then by faith, just leaping off into what it is, God's will and what He wants us to do. We have needs that we want to bring before God, burdens that He gives us. And there's so many things in Scripture. 98% of all the prayers in the New Testament, the recorded prayers, were prayers for the church, prayers for one another, prayers for leaders. You can study all the prayers in the New Testament that were spoken out, and you got primarily the prayers. You have two places specifically. You have Paul in Romans, and you have here the request for the prayer on behalf of the lost. And it's a priority. It's a priority. Intercession's priority is prayers for the lost with a specification. Those in authority, the kings and the leaders and the rulers, politically and militarily, were to pray for their salvation. And it's good. God is pleased. The Greek word simply means there is an emotional delight we are praying as a priority for the souls and lives of men. And then we have so many scriptures to show us how to pray for one another, pray for the church, pray with in the power of the Spirit with all kinds of prayers. And for all the saints, all the time, obviously Ephesians chapter 6. Going back one last thing to 1 Timothy 2. Simply saying this, that there's a Greek word desis that simply means very specific praying. When those who were at Rhoda's house in the book of Acts, when they are praying, they weren't praying just rambling off prayers. They were praying for Peter and his deliverance. They had a specific agenda in prayer. And that prayer continued and continued until he was literally supernaturally sprung as God intervened and acted. In the world around us, we know that God will intervene. God will act. That miracles and works and blessings and revivals and even a massive spiritual awakening is awaiting, is out there before us. So many things can happen. Listen, let me take you through some of the pages and just kind of describe to you what we do. When we are committed as devoted to prayer on a daily basis, when we're being watchful concerning the satanic impending dangers and so forth, and being thankful along the way so that our spirits are always filled with gratitude, God will use you as a prayer warrior. Continue with your crisis prayers when you need them. Continue in a devotional prayer. Part of intercession is praying for your family. Daily bread. You're allowed to pray for your own needs. But even when Jesus laid out a outline of prayer, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name, worship, and then intercession, praying for the kingdom of God, his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven, praying for the advancement of the kingdom of God, not that we decide God's will, but that we implement or advance God's will. That's what it's all about. If you will take a look at page 1 in the pages I've given you, you'll see at the top of the page, and listen, we've done over the years a number of prayer maps, and we've changed some of the arrangement, and the one you have simply begins with preparation. And then we go to page 2, worship. And then page 3 deals with praying for souls and spiritual awakening, referring to thousands of souls. In our prayer map on page 4, we deal with victims of the satanic agenda. In other words, targeting prayer for those who are really caught up, those who have been taken to do Satan's will, captive, and to focus on victims like that. Page 5, we deal with exposure, discernment, and revelation that is needed as we step out in ministry and as we use it to expose the evil deeds of darkness. Page 6, we're praying specifically, defeat, destroy satanic works, demonic presence, and the enemy's attacks. And page 7, the body of Christ, the church. Page 8, we're praying for more laborers. Page 9, we take time in our meetings to bless one another and pray for each other and saturate each other in prayer. Page 10 is just dealing with your own issues and laying out prayers for yourself, and we give time for individuals to do that. Let me start with page 1. Preparation. Now listen, that's a simple thing. Before we even begin to launch out in worship before the Lord, we begin by just simply getting before the Lord and saying, Lord, just prepare me. Consecrate yourself before the Lord. Tomorrow, you know, he'll do amazing things, you know, tomorrow, as the scripture teaches, with Joshua. And so there is a thing that we simply want to make sure as we get ready, because sometimes some of the workers will gather together in a car when we're off on one of our REAP trips, mission trips, and before we give 1 hour of prayer, we start off by just taking a little bit of time. Lord, you know, cleanse me of any sin. I repent of anything. I want to put, you know, I want to build myself, you know, might quote a couple scriptures, might just, you know, that's where you sit and you just get in the presence of God. Just acknowledge his presence, acknowledge the Lord, acknowledge victory, quote some scriptures in prayer, listen to what God says, you know, if there's any sin or any issues in our life, you know, cast our cares in the Lord. That's what I simply mean by doing, you know, taking a little bit of time preparation. Now, if you're looking at page 1, you'll notice the word, you know, preparation. And James chapter 4, verse 8 on down, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. You know, come near to God, and God will come near to you. Wash your hands of any sin. Purify your mind. These are all imperatives in the Greek. And there's 10 of them, and God is commanding. And so that's what we're doing. We're simply doing that even before we step into worship and just joy. We're simply bowing our heads, acknowledging his presence, and preparing ourselves. Now, on every page to the left, you're going to find scripture, the Word of God, and we mark down even other scriptures. Use that column to add scripture verses to what God is showing you. We add some of the things. It's a good thing to remember repentance, putting things sin away from your life, things like that, and seeking the Holy Spirit's guidance, the power of God, the fire of God to fall on us as we get ready to pour into it. So that's just simply preparation. And just what you need to do is give yourself about 5 minutes. Just you need to do this all week long, maybe for a couple of weeks. And don't leave this page. Focus on it. Stand, you know, get before the Lord and focus just, Lord, how can I better prepare myself? How can I consecrate myself before you, knowing that you're going to do great things in this next hour of prayer? How can I just be attentive to the Holy Spirit and cut out everything else? Can I cast some of my burdens before you? Can I cast some of the other things before you? Can I recognize the Holy Spirit's presence and guidance? Oh God, give me just a fire and a grace and move through me. I am here, Lord, and speak to me by the Holy Spirit. Remind me of the Word of God. And there's where you simply honor the Lord, His presence deep within you, inseparably within, unbroken fellowship inside. And His presence and His willingness to speak and pour out wisdom and guidance and direction. And that's what He'll do. Now take time and put down requests. Maybe if God convicts you of something, write down things and so forth. The neat thing about writing down things, scripture verses, what the Spirit of God is saying to you, is that when you do this again and again and again for 6 months, you can go back over the whole of the prayer map and see it as a spiritual journey. You can see interaction. You can see where God is teaching you in the process. This is not a 5-minute devotional prayer time. This is not a 2-minute crying out in crisis to God. This is saying, God, I'm dedicating an hour. So take it as homework. Cut off the TV and watch. I mean, when's the last time you've watched television? You were so impacted by watching CSI or some other movie, some other television thing. There's a couple of shows I like. But I think that we need to realize that when we're done watching an hour or two of television, it has really done nothing for us. That if you spend an hour in prayer, worship, intercession before God, listening to the Word of God in a quiet place and a place that you can meet with the Lord, so much more. More relaxation, more blessing, more peace in your life. And what a tremendous thing. And so you might want to, you know, go over the value of 2 hours of television as compared to 1 hour, even with God. I encourage you to take this prayer map and these pages and spend time this week. When you go to page 2, it says at the top, worship, ablaze in the Spirit, Psalm 103. Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being. Praise His holy name. There's where you can get before the Lord and give praise and thanksgiving and worship Him, embrace Him, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Come, you know, before the throne of grace with confidence. You come before the Father and you begin to just bless Him and praise Him and worship. Now listen, while you're worshiping, don't ask Him anything yet. I'm saying now, just focus. Ascribe greatness to God. Look over some of the Psalms and ascribe greatness and power and glory. You know what praise is? Well, obviously, praise, God inhabits the praise. That means His manifest presence really is just going to fill us in the midst of that praise. Because we're reaching out in praise and embracing God. And in the midst of our praising Him and worshiping Him, He also then is reaching His arms around us. And there is a koinonia, a fellowship with God. A personal interaction with the God who is inseparably present within you, upon you, above you. And this is a tremendous time. Listen, why go into intercession and all the other things without first just getting before the Lord and blessing Him and seeking Him and thanking Him about salvation? Listen, just now again, spend 5-10 minutes. Do this consistently. You're going to be able to see God remind you of things to be thankful for. You're going to find tremendous manifestation of His presence. You're going to find times when you just love to worship God. There's sometimes I just like to turn on a worship CD with a couple of my favorite worship songs, and I just get before the Lord, and I sing these songs on this page. I'll take time to do that. Sometimes we're in the car, we'll sing a song, or we're in a Bible study, we'll just break out during this time in worship. Otherwise, all of us are just praising God and thanking God and worshiping God and acknowledging Him. And that builds our own faith. We're not telling Him anything He doesn't know. You know, we're literally manifesting truths about God in our worship. We're manifesting out loud and giving confession and testimony, amazing grace. I stand amazed in the presence. How great thou art. Or any of the praise choruses. And listen, be filled with praise and thanksgiving, especially in times of trouble and battle and so forth. Give praise and praise and praise and worship to God. Obviously, in the midst of spiritual battle in the Old Testament, the king had to send out the praise team to sing and worship because they didn't have an army that could fight the demonized nation that came to fight and tear them down. And God literally through that praise and worship came with power and literally attacked the demonic presence and power on that nation and confused them. Of course, Israel won the victory because God came in to help them. So obviously in the New Testament with Paul and Silas in prison, what were they doing? They're singing hymns to God and praying. And an earthquake came. I don't know if the earthquake's going to come or not. I'm not doing it for the sake of an earthquake or just to see something. I'm simply saying that as you sing, they were just singing and praising God. And through that singing and praising God and singing hymns and prayers, the jailer was hearing content about salvation. How else could he ask after the jail cells, you know, opened from the earthquake and he feared and he was going to kill himself and he cried out how he could be saved? And the answer, of course, was believe in the name of the Lord Jesus and you'll be saved and your household. And look what happened. Look at the events. Incredible, enormous events. So worship God. Embrace the King. Worship in the presence of the Spirit. Praise and glorify God. Declare God's wonders and attributes and character. Praise Him for His Word, His works, the things that He's doing in your life. And then from that time of worship and prayer and your focus in that area, you can move then into intercession. And that's the outline Jesus gave. Pray now that the kingdom of God, which is being done in heaven, and the will of God done in heaven, will now be implemented on the earth. And the priority, obviously, is for the prayers of the lost. Obviously, is for the salvation of souls. Obviously. So as you go through this, and you read through this, you're going to see so many. And what I'm going to do right now, since we're at about an hour, this is part one of the spiritual warfare, prayer mapping, and just simply teaching. By the Word of God, we should be taught to do this. We should be able to do this. I live by that sequence. Worship God, move into intercession and prayers and so forth, and pray for myself. Deal with, you know, along the way, you can deal with anything in your life as far as sin and deliverance and keeping us from temptation. And then it says, deliver me from the evil one. That's when we pour out the prayers in intercession against the enemy. And in Shatter's work, we need, and all of us need to target. Spiritual warfare is a normal part of the development of every disciple of every church. God's created His church to be a vessel of grace and of spiritual warfare. He gave us grace, mercy, and truth, the good news of the gospel, but He also gave us the armor of God and the authority of Jesus to trample. And both of those, and pastors and leaders, that's the Word of God. I'm not telling you anything new, but it has to be brought into our churches. We need to practice what we've been instructed to do, what the models of the New Testament is all about. And we need to simply do what God has said to do. And I'm just including all those who are joining up in prayers with us and that use the prayer map like this. And you'll be able to add pages. Listen, you're going to have about 10 pages. I probably have about 18 pages because we have a lot of other focused areas, which we're going to tell you about. But simply this, prayer is the place of power, of God's presence, of miracles, of the fire of God. It's where revivals are birthed. It's where we hear from God. It's where the Spirit of God and supplication moves on us. It's where we learn how to pray out general prayers, but also specific, focused, targeted things until we get the answer, until we bear the fruit, until what we're seeking and asking God comes about, that there is reception, that there is finding, and that doors literally open, and that God's miracles occur. Well, let me encourage you to go on to part two. This is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net, going over the spiritual prayer and intercessory prayer map that we use. God bless you.